Live from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, SEC Media Days with Mike and Shane starts now.
All right, welcome in. Let us know if you can hear us. Let us know if you can see us. We literally never know what in the world's going on. SEC Media Days, day two. Sorry for the delay. Technical issues. We didn't have this. We didn't have that. We're piecing this thing together. It could be shut down at any point.
Yes.
We were about to go live. And then I don't want to call them out, Shane, because it did us a solid. But a school sent some players over. We didn't even know we were getting them. So
yeah,
we had to record. And that's why we're a little bit late. But again, excuses.
And I'm not telling you what team it is, but this team we always have time for. So I'll let you guess.
Let's see. I'm looking at it. It looks like we're good. All right. And we're always good, Shane, because of Cousin JR. What's it?
Hey, oh, yeah.
JR gets in.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
Just played his tune. We can't hear it. Hopefully you can. But I want to give a shout out, Shane, to... Yeah. Defeated Samuel.
Welcome to the family.
Shout out a legend.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in Georgia part Day. By Cousin JR.
Boy, before we get into that, Shane, another legend. MyBookie. Don't forget.
Yes.
Presenting sponsor. We're here. Thanks to MyBookie. They're paying our way. So if you want to pay us a favor, go to MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Put in the promo code SEC. Pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
SEC, that's the promo code. They'll give you 100% instant deposit match this week only, just for the Cousins. Special, without my bookie, man, I don't even know if we'd be here.
No, absolutely not. And I'm telling you, it's free. And not free, but, you know, you're getting money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, technically. I mean, if I told you to go to, you know, this website and they're going to double everything you put into it, you're going to be like, okay, that sounds like a great site. That's what you need to do, my bookie. So you want to help us out? That helps us out, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate the Cousins spreading the word, because we wouldn't have my bookie if it weren't for them being our leading advertiser by letting the other family members know that this show exists. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, Jared, he just doubled down. Shane, he gave us another $5. Go Dogs!
Hell yeah, cuz.
So let's start with Georgia. Man, you know, this was... This day to me, Shane, wasn't even really about Georgia. It was about Archmania. But we're going to hold off on that for JR. But, man, the Dogs. Everybody's sleeping on the Dogs. People forgetting about the Dogs. Dogs are defending champions, last I checked, Shane.
Yeah.
Last team from the SEC to win the national championship. Is it good to be a dog? Is it good to be a slept-on dog?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of saying that they use in the South or something. A slept dog is a... ferocious dog. That's I don't know if that's the same, but it should be. And I feel like that's what's going on here, because you are right, Mike. This small day, this window, they were probably Georgia Bulldogs was probably the third most talked about team that was here today. And that's crazy to me, because how many times they roll in and we've always just kind of crowned them. This is going to be the team that's probably going to win the SEC championship. And again, they're going to be toward the top of the list, but people want to talk about Arch Manning. People want to talk about Hugh Freeze's golfing. You know, it's just you name it. It was one thing after Tennessee being slept on, but nobody was given the Georgia Bulldog. That was probably the least talked about team that we had today, and that's the way Kirby likes it.
Yeah, yes, it is. I just can't get over it, Shane. I can't get over it. We're supposed to be talking about Georgia, and all I can think about is Arch. Arch Mania. I mean, it's.
You should have seen it.
It was wild. Yeah. I mean, couldn't get near the guy. There was people on the second floor trying to get photos of Arch. Arch. Man, he's taking over. How many Heismans is he going to win this year, Shane?
They're already – I'm sure it's hanging up somewhere in the Hall of Fame up here. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure he's got his own little section. But here's the thing for me, man. It's like you got to prove it now. You know what I'm saying? And – I know we just said we're going to talk Georgia, and here we are already talking about Arch Manning, but that's kind of where everything kind of went. There's little sections here. Arch Manning didn't even come up here. You know, there's some coaches that do, that's a quarterback that didn't, and it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, the other talking point for media days, Nick Saban. I think we've thrown water on it. You know, that was a fun 24 hours. Kirby Smart officially killed that. Let's kick it over the head down.
Hey, Coach, Michael Brauner, WNSP in Mobile. The hot rumor yesterday was a secondhand rumor about Nick Saban possibly being interested in coming back to coach. And Lane Kiffin said he wouldn't be surprised. I was wondering if you could share your reaction as well as your relationship with Nick Saban since he's retired.
Yeah, I called him and offered him Muschamp's job, but he was overqualified. So he wasn't interested. No, I heard all the scuttlebutt and everything about it. I almost laughed. It was like somebody needed something interesting to talk about yesterday, so they chose to go to Coach Saban to do it. You know, the game's better with him involved, and he is involved. He is passionate about it. He and I still talk and share ideas from time to time about defensive philosophies and the way to do things, and he's still watching tape and very, very involved in football. He loves it. And his brilliant as he is, in many ways, is around football. I mean, it's around scheme. It's around another way to do something to stay ahead of the offensive minds. And I think that's one of the elite talents he has. And he still loves that. He's still passionate about that. But make no mistake about it, the boss at home is going to make that call for him, not him.
All right, Chad. So at the end of the day, the boss, and it ain't Nick Saban, making that call. You know what?
Yeah, I think this one is nipped in the bud, as they say. So, yeah, this one, it was a fun story. A lot of scenarios. I mean, I was thinking about it last night. I was like, what if? And I'm not saying he does, but what if he was extremely upfront with the recruits, saying, "Hey, we're opening up this transfer portal for you." Wherever Saban goes, I would imagine it would be kind of like, almost like when Deion went to Colorado. You know, just kind of that moth to a flame. Everybody wants to be a part of it. And I'm wondering if that ever happened. I forget Nick Saban for a second. I always wonder if that ever happens. Like, we build a last chance you situation, whether it be in the Southeastern Conference or wherever, just put all the money into it. I mean, Ohio State.
I think we did that last year, Ole Miss.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Ohio State, similar too, you know. But again, it would – I wonder if you can buy a championship like that. Maybe 2-3 years, you just save up and it's like, okay, let's go all in on this roster, you know?
Well, yeah. I have a thought on that. But yeah. Real quick, Kirby Smart asked, you know, you knew he was going to – we said this was going to get asked. This was not going to get decided, but this is going to get asked at this event. 8 games, 9 games. Mm-hmm. And I think Kirby's opinion, we should look to Kirby, best coach in the game, although – Tennessee and Florida are going to dominate when he gets hired. But best coach in the game, what's he think about SEC going to 9 games? I thought this was valuable content.
Coach, a lot of talk about a 9th conference game being added to the schedule potentially. If it doesn't happen, Auburn-Georgia could be on the chopping block next year. Your thoughts on the SEC going to 9 games and the importance of the Auburn-Georgia game being played every year?
Yeah, every game in the SEC is important. I mean, I get it. That's a huge rivalry game. That's a tradition that I love. I grew up in Southwest Georgia, where, you know, it's easier to get to Auburn than it was Georgia from where I lived. So I respect that rivalry, but they're all big games. And so I would hate to lose that one if that happened. I think that's speculation, but I, you know, the 8-9 debate, everybody wants to have it, and I feel like we talk about it year-round except for during the season. During the season, we talk about the season, and this is the talking season, so everybody wants to talk about it. I don't have a preference. Forever, I was a 9-game proponent because it was better for our fan bases. It was better for television. It was better for increasing revenue, which is a huge demand right now on college athletics. So I like the idea of 9. My concern with the idea of 9 is, you know, how are we picking the 12 or 14 teams and who's picking them and what do they value? Because I don't think we saw value in adding 9 more losses to our league last year in terms of the way they pick the teams. And, you know, some people will take maybe resentment in that, but I don't look at it that way. I look at it as if we're going to play a ninth game, we need the right people making the right decisions in terms of who goes in.
I know that's a sentiment you can get behind, Shane. Until they fix the playoff committee and they value strength of schedule, why the hell would SEC go to nine games?
I mean, why would you? You know, the last two seasons, they've kind of went against the way, you know. And it's just, for me, it's just true eye test. I think you got, who I can't remember. We talked to so many damn people, but we talked to somebody, and it was like, oh, man, it was Coach Beamer. And he was just talking about how tough it is to move up. Like, once they come out with the list of teams that are going to be in the college football playoffs, it's almost impossible for one team to jump another, even though one team may be playing better than the other because they both keep winning. Now, you drop one, you're gone. You're dead. You're done. And I just think that's kind of skewed. I know wins and losses are important, but types of wins, types of losses, until we see a committee that puts teams in based on that, it's a flawed system.
Yeah, not only that, shout out Coach Beamer, the article interview you referenced, you kind of forget because it was so long ago, but you know, college football was looking at that at Clemson that week, South Carolina at Clemson, winner gets in, losers eliminated, and then, you know, how quickly they changed the narrative a week later when it, you know, because if it was the winner get in, South Carolina should have got in, but again, we can rehash that all day. I just wanted to plug the Shane Beamer interview. It is live now, finally. Took 2 days to upload here at Media Days. I don't think we're going to get any videos up this week other than these live shows because been such a pain in the ass with the internet here. But, yeah, I mean, again, and I'm a proponent of nine games because I think we got to keep Auburn, Georgia.
Yeah.
We got to keep Tennessee, Alabama. We got to keep a lot of these games. It's just it's not the same sport if we don't have these games annually, I really do think. But at the same time, are we playing for these key rivalries or are we playing for national championships? I know the answer. The answer is we're playing for national championships. Yeah. And if they don't get the playoff to cater to what the SEC wants, they're not going to switch it.
Absolutely. And then when you got teams like Indiana saying, hey, we're not going to play Virginia anymore. We want Austin Peay. You know, we want Kennesaw State. That's what SEC teams are seeing. But you take a 11-1 Indiana with that schedule and, a 10-2 SEC team. Well, they've shown that they're going to give Indiana the props because of the win-loss, and it's not the same. So I know we talk about this, people are exhausted and tired of it. I think 95% of people that are listening right now are all in on nine. They're like Kirby. Not so much guaranteed. I hate throwing the word guaranteed, but we need to see a credible point that we won't get penalized because we may have more losses than another conference.
Yep. Hey, shout out, Shane. I'm going to give some shout outs here.
Yeah.
Jared Jones, he's a member for 2 months. Hook him. Love the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, cuz.
We're about to talk some Texas here in a minute. Brad Chrysler, $5. Haven't been able to listen live much, but glad to catch you guys today. Here's to August 1st when it all turns around for Auburn Day 2, so we can jump into that in a minute. And then shout out Jared. I have not verified this. Hopefully he's telling us the truth. 5-star defensive lineman James Johnson has just flipped from Georgia to Texas. Johnson, ooh, number one defensive lineman in the class. Buddy.
That's how a rivalry gets fired up. You know, not just the win losses, but
imagine coming down here from Media Days, Atlanta. You're in Georgia's backyard.
Yeah.
You're mighty Texas. It's Texas Day. It's Georgia Day. And Sark probably slipped him a handshake, Kirby.
Yeah.
Probably said, how about that? We just stole one from you. You know what? He probably gave him some money. Said, you can use some of that we got down here in Austin. You know what?
Do you think Kirby had something to do with the walkout music Sark came to?
Yeah, anybody that missed it. So, apparently when Sarkisian came out, they played the A&M fight song. So
party foul.
Well, I bet Billy had a good time with that, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. I did see him near the booth, so maybe it was Billy Lucci, which we did get an interview with him today, so we'll have that out probably next week.
All right, so, Shane, Texas.
Yes.
Texas. Mighty Texas.
Crown them.
Should we? I mean, again, Arch was the biggest star.
You know, it's funny.
That's got more to do with being a Manning than it does Texas, though, don't you think? Or, I mean, if he was Tennessee's quarterback today,
yeah,
he was. Hell, even if he was at Auburn,
yeah,
he would never play for.
Mike, there's two camps. It's as simple as this. There's two camps right now that Texas is back, not just back, but will win. This is the year. And then there's the other camp that says, hey, look at all they lost. You know, everybody's quick to crown them because of Arch Manning, but we're not thinking about the defensive players we lost, the offensive players we lost. We're just putting all stock into this. If he were so good, he would have been playing last year. It feels like there's just two camps. It's like evenly divided. You're on one side or the other. Either Texas is going to win and maybe potentially win at all, or they're going to go, I think the hot take was 9-3, 8-4. You know, I've heard a couple
I'm
say
I'm glad you said that, Shane, because we've had multiple people, not – SEC, yeah. Mike, SEC Mike's got Texas in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Don't, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we've had multiple people come to our booth today, say Texas going 9-3, and only one of those guys is Billy Lucci. So, you know, there's some there's some credibility to that. What would be the meltdown in Austin if Texas goes 9-3? Maybe a better question, Shane. Yeah. How would the rest of the conference celebrate Texas going 9-3 or worse after having to hear about Arch and all this for a damn year?
I think it'd be a tough pill to swallow, but I do think if there is early season success and mainly because of Arch Manning, you're going to be kind of upset that you didn't get to see him more last season. It's almost like a lose-lose situation. The standards are so high now because the expectations – I mean, we talked to plenty of Texas lovers that they think they're national championship bound, you know, that they got exactly what they needed, and Arch Manning is exactly that guy, and they may be right. But, you know, again, we saw a limited role, you know, and I just can't quite crown him yet, but I do think that we'll find out probably – what, week one against Ohio State?
Cousin Mike says, remember, they've had three good years in 20.
Yeah.
But two of the last two. if and again, this is kind of crazy talk. I don't think Texas goes 9-3. But if they do, where are the losses in your mind? I got the schedule up here.
You have not to at home, I'll tell you that.
At Ohio State, at Georgia, yeah. Likely. Those are the obvious candidates. Where would that third one be? Oklahoma, at Florida?
I would probably say Oklahoma. If it's the third one. If I'm picking the third one, yeah, it's not Florida Gators.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's not them. And
those are all the teams you hate. I forgot.
Yeah, I'm looking at it like, well, Texas A&M, I'm not on that one either, you know. So Texas A&M, Florida, but two teams I'm not too high on, obviously. And, shit, you should be happy. I don't know what camera I'm looking at, but, damn, they should be happy that I'm not. I was on Texas Aggs, and they were ecstatic that I'm not picking Texas A&M. But I will say, it's hard not to when Cousin Mike's over here telling me how good they're going to be. So maybe that's the team.
What for Texas fans, though, again, stealing recruits from Georgia.
Yeah.
Buddy, you got the rock star of this event. Mm-hmm. That's a recruiting pitch. The next five-star quarterback come to this event. Look what happens when the Texas. That's what they're selling. They're not selling Manning name. They're saying, look what happens when we bring a Texas quarterback. This is two Texas quarterbacks in a row. Quinn Ewers, from what I remember, he was kind of a rock star at the Dallas event. So that's what I'm pitching if I'm Sarkisian. And I said this on another show. I don't know if they've aired it yet. But if I'm a Texas fan, we are literally in the best place I think you could be as a fan, because we have a program that is literally doing everything they can, spending everything they can to chase that championship.
Yeah.
Again, Alabama. Again, that's my pick. I'm not saying Alabama's not going to make it, but they've been there recently. Mm-hmm. Georgia. Georgia's the standard, right? They've won there recently. Are they as committed as Texas today? I think not. I think Texas committed more than anybody in the country to win that elusive national, even though they've won one before, but not in recent history.
Yeah.
Could you think of being in a better spot as a fan than being a Texas fan?
I mean, it's hot down there. That's the only, I guess, the only kicker.
I'm looking at winning championships, though. Yeah, you know what I mean?
They're fringe. And what I mean by that is, here's a team that's made it to the playoffs 2 years in a row. just falling a little bit short. How that's for me. If I'm between, let's say I'm picking between Georgia and Texas, signing up, you know, I'm like, which one do I want to be a part of? Do I want to be part of Arch Manning team that, you know, everyone is talking about right now? It's the hottest commodity. Or do I want to go with Georgia, which, again, we started the show being slept on? Yes, both are going to get me to the NFL, but which one's more likely to get me to a national championship? And with publicity, talking heads like us, not saying us, but there's a lot of them that have kind of already went into the Texas camp, mainly because of a quarterback they've not really seen plays substantial counts.
Yeah. Hey, shout out, Shane. Austin, Tennessee fan, so I know you love him.
Yeah.
Just became, I wonder if it's Austin Price. Probably not. Austin just became a member of the channel.
Welcome to the family.
Austin, we'll have Austin Price. We already recorded with him, so we'll be posting that.
Yeah, great one. They got me all, maybe a team we're sleeping on.
Yeah, let's switch gears to Tennessee. It's Tennessee Day. Yeah, everybody's sleeping on Tennessee. You know?
We're talking about the wrong UT.
Just went to the college football playoff. Yeah. The only narrative is this defense. They can't replace them studs that went on the NFL.
Yeah.
Although Josh Heupel's kind of turned this into a damn NFL product here. So just went to the college football playoff. And, buddy, you talk about schedules. We've talked about it all season. Just pull one upset. And I don't even know if it's an upset. Beating Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Beating Alabama. Two of the last three. Really should have been three out of three.
Yeah.
They were owning Nick Saban's ass. Some say Nick Saban retired to get away from Tennessee. That's what I've heard whispers of that. I'm just throwing that out there. But, again, everybody's sleeping on Tennessee. When Tennessee is being slept on, that's when they seem to have their best seasons. What's your thoughts on Tennessee? Again, they're at this event. No one's talking about them because it's Georgia Day, it's Texas Day, and Hugh Freeze is golfing. I don't even think people know Tennessee exists anymore.
Well, again, I go back to that 1998 season, Mike, when we started against Syracuse, and by God, we're going against the McNeck. You know? I know there's some parodies to that, but I do think this is a defense that doesn't miss a step. We had a couple of boys on today. They got me pumped up. We had Austin on earlier. Got me excited about that offensive line. A question I had, you know, now I'm feeling better about that situation. We know the running game's going to be strong. It's ultimately down to the quarterback position, which we truly have a quarterback battle here. And they kind of get thrown in the fire, but honestly, the closer we get to that Syracuse game, they may be able to just beat them with defense at the end of the day, because that's how confident I am in that game. So working out those kinks, getting ready for the Georgia Bulldogs, you do that, brother, I mean, this is an easy road to a playoff spot again because they're of the teams that Tennessee doesn't have to face this season.
I didn't think I could like JR anymore.
Yeah.
Predicting Tennessee to go 10-2.
Damn. That's
that?
Better than $5, JR. Just say that more often. I'll pay you $5 to say that. Oh, man. I tell you what, we got so much. Guys, have the notifications on. When we get these interviews cleaned up, buttoned up, we're going to send those out there. We've got so much great content, and it's not just the teams that were here today and the teams that were here yesterday. Just about every single team has been hit on. Actually, every team has been hit on. So you're gonna get plenty of it. So just make sure you have those on because I don't want you to miss one of those fantastic interviews.
Now, how about Hugh Freeze? There's a lot of talk here at this event. Obviously, the golf, everybody's making the jokes and everything, but man, they got a lot on the line this year. And how about Jackson Arnold? 2 years in a row, two different teams. But 2 years at SEC Media Day, so he knew what he was getting himself in for. Hugh Freeze, I thought this was kind of interesting. Why Jackson Arnold? Some people think he's perfect for this offense. Others doubt it. Let's kick it over to Hugh Freeze.
A lot of quarterback options available in the transfer portal after last season. What was it about Jackson Arnold that made him the right guy?
It goes back to his high school days. Truthfully, for me, that's where it began. I, like everyone else, wanted him. Thought he was super talented and There's a reason he was Gatorade Player of the Year and five-star quarterback. And so you see all of that, and then you go in your mind to, okay, the lack of production at Oklahoma has to be, you know, at least dealt with in your mind. And you go study all of that, and you find out the facts were they unfortunately had a lot of injuries, both offensive line and receiver, and I think that affected, you know, Jackson's play. But you see his toughness all throughout the year, especially the Alabama game, where he really just played one tough of a football game. And you combine that with the system I want to run, and does he have the skill set for that? And there's no question in my mind that he does, and that's why we went after Jackson.
Front row, right side.
All right, Shane. And interesting, I mean, I don't know if we should share details like this, but I'm going to do it, you know?
Do it.
I don't give a damn. But I heard old Hugh was down at the bar last night with, I don't know if Cousin Shane was down there with him or not, pounding away, getting ready for this one. But based on you guys have equal tans right now, yeah. So I'd believe it that you guys were hanging out at the bar.
Yeah, that's a guy that's not using a wide brim hat, and he should. yeah, the golfing, those are definitely golf tan lines, which whatever, man, you know, to each their own. I was just telling you offline. I can't wait to get home and try these new, irons that I bought. You know, I shouldn't have bought them before I came here because that's now all I could think about. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, I don't care what my coach does on or off the field, as long as I get wins. And the problem that we're having on the Plains is we're not seeing that production. And what we're getting the last couple of seasons is a whole bunch of finger pointing that it's this guy's fault, it's this kid's fault. We can't have that in 2025, man. This is the year. Because of this shit that we're getting, the shenanigans that we're getting off the field, you've got to double down. I mean, you have got to come out here and have a fantastic season. And I can't stress how important week one is against Baylor. You trip up against those guys, then all of a sudden, all this shit that we've been talking about becomes even a bigger problem because you failed to hit the ground running.
Yeah, so I got the schedule up. What game is a game? And it could be Baylor, but I don't think it would be. Mm-hmm. Where's a game Auburn could win and you start to believe? Again, not that, like,
yeah,
I'm not saying 6-6. That ain't believing.
No.
Auburn
no.
should be aspiring for playoff. And, hell, I mean, they won the national championship not that long ago. So where's a game where, like, we say, all right, Hugh Freeze's program has really turned the corner. Is there one there?
September 27th, Texas A&M. Ooh. Back-to-back, because there's a chance. I mean, if you're beating A&M on the road, you can beat Oklahoma on the road. You can beat Baylor on the road. I think there's a real shot. You're sitting there 5-0 at the bye week going against a rivalry that really hasn't been a rivalry in a long time and should be fired back up here. Yeah, that's what I'm believing, because if you go back to that Auburn schedule, a beautiful schedule at that, the thing that I love past Georgia is finally where the other losses are. If you beat Oklahoma and A&M, are you losing to Mizzou, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mercer? I mean, forget the Iron Bowl. You know, obviously that's a whole different animal. But this is a team that could really catch fire after that Georgia game. And all of a sudden, Auburn's in that playoff mix going into the Iron Bowl. That wouldn't blow my mind.
Cousin Mike, I think it was. Cousin Mike says, Freeze ran away from Mike and Shane 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If let me ask you this, Mike, because you've been on Hugh Freeze pretty damn hard, probably harder than anybody in this building.
Justified,
right,
don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, justified. I get it. But hard nonetheless.
Yeah.
If Auburn does, let's say Auburn does make the playoffs, can we please beg Hugh Freeze to come over here? And I want to get at least 3 minutes of apologizing from SEC Mike. Can I have that?
If they
make the playoffs.
Wait, what am I apologizing for?
For being extremely hard on Hugh Freeze.
Oh, if they make the playoff?
Yeah.
3 minutes? That would not even be entertaining.
Mike. 10-2. Your Auburn Tigers going to 10-2.
There's no shot they go 10-2. So, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, take that bet. All right, mark it. Bookie, my bookie.
Book it. Hey, we had a couple donations. I don't want to overlook them. Shout out. We got Tyler Dotson. Gave us $5. Cousins, what would it take for y'all to ask questions in the press conferences? And is that something y'all are trying to do, hotty toddy? You know, it's kind of confusing because that's it's hard to explain to people. But so there's like a main where you can see on TV. You know, they got we're in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Like a horseshoe.
Thank you. There's a horseshoe, and that's the first floor, and that's where these coaches are taking questions. And then we're upstairs, and we are interviewing people. So, I mean, we could go down there and ask questions, but then we can't do interviews.
Yeah.
And for us, I mean, I think it's way more valuable to sit here and talk to people. Than to ask one question of a coach.
There's some I like to sit in. I always like to sit in Nick Saban's. Greg Sankey, when we start, that's a good one. But as far as questions, wouldn't be opposed to it, but you got to remember there's 7,500 people in there that are wanting to ask questions.
So you may not even get one.
Yeah.
You just burn 45 minutes of your day.
Absolutely. And in that room, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, sorry, the Hugh Freeze reference, it's coach speak. You know, it's the same old shit chewed up over and over. You get better content up here, in my opinion, on Radio Road when you're talking to people that are behind the scenes that have conversations. Like, we talked to a guy today that has open conversations with the Auburn AD. You know, that's the conversation that I would rather be having.
Yeah. And, Chet, you're going to love this one, Shane. Rural Vol, appreciate you. $2. Vols now have 3 quarterbacks better than Nico. Playoff team. Thoughts on that? 3 quarterbacks better than Nico? Are you buying that?
Yeah, of course. His ass ain't here no more. Absolutely. Yeah. People are going to forget the whole Arch Manning controversy. They're going to be mad when they see these quarterbacks. You know, why didn't they get any playing time last season?
Hey, I meant to have this uploaded. Apologies for not having it uploaded. Mm-hmm. But shout out Pete Nankos on 3. Speaking of Nico, he broke that news. Remember, we were talking about Auburn having a top 5 roster.
Yeah.
In terms of how much money is being spent on the roster, that's the rumor. Mm-hmm. Now, Pete Nankos says biggest spenders in college football, and I don't think this is exactly 1-for-1 of what I was talking about with top 5 roster. I think this is probably roster and recruiting. Mm-hmm. I don't know Pete Nankos how he came up with this. I didn't read the article, but biggest spenders. He's got Texas 1.
Yeah.
No surprise, right?
All right.
Texas Tech, with all the billions they're spending.
Yeah.
But Ohio State, Oregon, and then Texas A&M 5.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Tennessee 9.
Damn.
And Auburn top 10. So we have 3, and no Georgia, which is interesting. 3 of the top 4 spenders in the country out of the top 10 here today, if this is accurate. I have no idea if it is. How interesting is that? Again, 3 of the 4, Auburn, Texas, Tennessee, 3 of the top 10 spenders in college football.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about these teams? And that maybe Texas, clearly no one's sleeping on them, but maybe Auburn and Tennessee being slept on because they should have a top 10-ish roster based purely on money.
This tells me that teams want a national championship. You don't see Bama. You don't see LSU. You don't see Georgia. They got it. That old luxury tax. They have the ability to bring in talent and not spend as much money. But I guarantee you, Mike, right now, if Kirby left and Georgia hit a rut where they're 4 or 5 years without hitting the playoffs, they would move quickly up that list. They just have the ability to not pay as much.
Hey, shout out JR again. Maybe the comment of the night. We coach, not spend at Georgia.
Oh, damn. Put that in your memoir.
Oh man, this was flying through, Shane. We hit all the teams. We're only 34 minutes in. Cousin Bevo says, Cousin Shane for SEC commissioner. How about that?
I mean, I would clean this shit up. Stat. I wouldn't get guarantees, but I would tell you, you know, I want to give Sankey a shout out. You know, this guy, whether you like him or not, is working tirelessly to make this a better to get this conference what it deserves. And I hate throwing deserves because maybe teams don't deserve it, but I feel like this conference deserves it. They pretty much built college football, you know, over the last 100 years, and it's, you know, he's tired of getting shit on, and I'm right there with him. This is a conference that should have the luxury of having more than other conferences as far as teams in the playoffs. So, and this is in a tough situation with the everything changing. You know, we're talking the 9 games, the 8 games, we're NIL, the portal, all this stuff. It's like all this stuff has come together, and we're trying to put rules and regulations. This is a trying time, and the fact that he's navigated so well kind of blows my mind.
Shout out Michael Raleigh. I love this question, Shane. Who's the bigger story at Media Days, Arch Manning or Diego Pavia? I think it's easy to say Arch Manning just because of the – but again, this probably sounds disrespectful to Texas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, put Arch Manning at Bama. Put him at Tennessee. Put him at Georgia. Put him at A&M. I mean, I still think he's a huge story. To me, the bigger story is Diego Pavia, mm-hmm. because we've been doing this a good while. Vanderbilt never has any buzz. Never. I mean, they're like, people could care less about Vanderbilt. They're the ones you go eat your lunch during their time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No one gives two dams about Vanderbilt.
We used to joke Vanderbilt was a Thursday team.
And now, again, I think most fans are discounting them, but they're creating headlines, they're creating buzz. To me, Diego Pavia is the bigger story. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, no. Arch Manning's the bigger story. This is this goes back to the wing discussion, flats, and I get it.
Maybe what is one thing Arch Manning said today that was
– Doesn't matter. Being here. The handshake with Paul Feinbaum got more likes than anything Pavia said yesterday. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, you're talking about bigger story? Absolutely. You put a story out there with Arch Manning, you put a story out there with Pavia, without a doubt Manning's going to get more.
Because I think that I have no clue what my behind scenes, but I would wager that Texas, their game plan was like, all right, Arch, let's not make headlines for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I mean, again, his performance, I've talked to a lot of people about this. His performance week one is going to, like, melt down the internet, yeah. Whether he's good or bad. Yeah. And I hope he's good, you know. But they're gonna crown him the Heisman on mm-hmm. first take. Mm-hmm. But let's say he throws 2 picks and Texas loses, barely loses.
Yeah.
God, overrated Manning. If his name was Smith, we wouldn't be – like, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any – well, I mean, there will be. But no one on the big platforms, no ESPN and shit – they're not going to be taking a reasonable, rational take. It's going to be he's God's gift, or mm-hmm. he's overrated. Those are going to be the only takes for Arch Manning, I think.
Yeah, and you could probably take the viewership of that Ohio State game alone and compare it to the viewership that Vanderbilt will have this entire season, and they'd be comparable. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's going to be so many eyes on that week one matchup. And you're right. He's going to come out the hero or the zero. And, you know, I'd like to think hero. And if that happens, let's say devil's advocate, Arch comes out here and just whoops Ohio State's ass.
Yep.
Even that best case scenario, the second thought that you have in your brain was like, why the hell was he not in there last year? Why did he not go against Ohio State last season? I mean, so even best case scenario, you're still going to have that damn negative thought.
Hey, let me ask you this. Someone in the comments, I missed it. I lost who asked it, but someone asked, who do we think will be the first team all-SEC quarterback? And I don't think they're asking, you know, who's the best? Yada, yada. I think they're asking at the end of this event, the media votes on these awards. Who do you anticipate the media will vote first team all SEC? Who do you think? Because I think it's an easy answer, believe it or not, but I'm wondering if you'll even.
Are you talking about quarterback?
Just quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Sellers.
No, I think you're way off.
No, I don't think so. That's just the ones I've talked to. I mean, again, torn. There'll be this.
Should we do a bet on it? Again, I think he's the best, too.
Mm, well,
who the media is going to vote on.
But we're talking the media here. Right. You know, I mean, they're – yeah. No, Sellers, I would say Sellers.
He won't get enough votes.
You don't think so?
No. it'll be Garrett Nussmeier. I think he'll get the votes from the.
Well, you may be right
because most people know that name. Most people have seen him. He's at. That's what we talked about with all the, you know, we've talked about with everybody. You know, the SEC contenders. Who's the one with the quarterback back? It's Nussmeier, Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
They watched that Netflix documentary. They're going to vote. I think he'll get the votes. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's bad. But he might be the best. First overall pick. I think people get enamored with that garbage. I think it'll be Nuss. But you're going Sellers. I'm just kind of curious you didn't say Arch at all. You don't think Arch will get those votes?
Oh, no. Arch is going to get votes.
But the most votes for quarterback.
That's the problem. You're going to have everybody stealing votes. You know what I'm saying? It's like – You may get Nuss just because people are going against Arch and that it's almost a three-headed. Sometimes as people mention DJ, but it's a three-headed monster in my opinion as far as quarterback and I feel like if you are near South Carolina, played South Carolina, you're putting Sellers. If you played LSU, and you may be putting Nuss.
I think too many people are kind of lack knowledge, I guess is the word to say it, and think Sellers can't throw the football, which we know he can.
Yeah.
But I think too many people are like, oh, he's just a running quarterback or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not fair, but it's true. It's just like the
dominant rusher.
It's like the Heisman race. You know, people don't watch. People do not watch the games. They look at the box score. They look at the stats. And then they come up with an assumption on why this person's better or this team's better. And it sucks. It sucks that it's that way because, you know, ask Dabo who the best quarterback in the country is. That's why, you know what I'm saying? Hell, even that we watched the LSU matchup. If Sellers didn't get hurt in that game, there's a chance that they're in the playoffs last year. So
yeah. All right, anything else, Shane? We've only gone 42 minutes on this one.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? I mean, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Auburn, any of the above?
I just, up to this point, I felt like this was a big day, big event, because these are four teams that this week I've heard could be in the mix to take it to the next level. You know, even Auburn, even though you hate Auburn and Hugh Freeze, I've talked to a lot that says
Hugh Freeze.
Well, I've just talked to a lot that says if the stars align, this could be a special, special football team. And Tennessee, same boat, quarterback hits. The Texas, Georgia, almost you can almost guarantee you're going to see those guys at the next level. So, yeah, a lot of championship contenders today and as heavy, heavy hitters. And weren't vocal, didn't get a lot of good shit at the mic, but whatever. At the end of the day, we did get a lot of good content up here on Radio Row.
Oh, yeah. No, we got the best content here.
Brother,
we just can't put it out just yet. I mean, it's like the ultimate teaser, but I will work my ass off as soon as I get home. I won't be taking a weekend off. I'll just be pushing out this content. But
then you'll understand why we have trouble finishing sentences today because of all the work that we did for you guys.
But the cousins love it when you talk food.
Yeah.
What's you were even commenting on how good the media day food is, but maybe that's probably not the best. What's your favorites? We're only halfway through here, but favorites. Foods you've had so far on this trip to Atlanta?
Great question. So, Radio, they're doing great here. Today they had a little Mexican deal. It was good. They had a little cake in there that was good. But honestly, it was about the pizza because if y'all remember, we went to go eat pizza Monday and the lady comes out and she says, we got no sauce. And I'm going to be honest with you. Mike's a little upset, but it's not the first time I've heard this spiel when I walked into a restaurant. Usually it's a buffet style. And they're like, oh, no, we have no more food. But this one here, what was funny is when we went the next day, they got half a menu that's pizzas with no sauce. And I'm like, well, damn, we could have ordered off that side. You know what I'm saying? But ultimately, they want to go. But because we went 2 days, because we did go back to the pizza place, because we went 2 days, It kind of lost some points because the anticipation, the fact that we walked all the way down there to eat this pizza. If I would have ate the first day, it would have said
it's one block away.
You say that, Mike, but it isn't. These are giant buildings, giant blocks, you know. So we get in there, and the fact that it was a two-day event lost some points. So right now my favorite dish was yesterday. It was the chicken thighs with the potato salad was fantastic. So that's one. Pizza was second, and then today the tacos was third.
Yeah, and I believe it was Mike A. was asking if I had lunch. I can confirm I once again did not eat lunch.
Yeah, I don't know why he's saving up for.
I'm working over here, man.
Yeah, hard work. I'm like, dude, I'm out. My blood sugar's dropping, as my wife says.
All right, any last thoughts here?
No, just a quick reminder, be sure to tune in next week. Not only are we going to have these awesome interviews, but we got two fantastic shows coming your way. New shows, not going to change anything about our normal 7 o'clock get-together. So if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But check it out. I'll be live at 7:30 Eastern time Monday. Mike, I don't know if there's a designated time just yet, but be sure to keep your eyes out for that. And I appreciate the likes, the donations, everything helps tremendously. But the word is the best part, is you guys just telling someone about the show, and I appreciate all the work that you all have done to make this possible.
Yeah, shout out Cousin Cameron Williams. Shane, to give us $5. This is for Shane to buy Hugh a drink tonight.
Yeah, come on, son.
But hey, and don't forget, of course, we got to give him where's the Flying Hawaiian, they're asking. He's sitting
right
next
here
to the camera,
yeah,
judging us with everything we're saying. Emily, shout out Emily Powell. This is for Mike to buy Freeze a drink. She donated too. I'll do it for Emily. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And don't forget to check out our friends, MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, promo code SEC. This week only, Shane. You put in a initial deposit over at MyBookie.ag. With that promo code SEC, they are willing to match you 100% for the Cousins Only SEC Media Days special. Again, we are wiped, but we're cutting this thing.
Yep.
But we do appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate you guys hanging in there. We were a little late. Technical difficulties. I don't even know if they heard any of this. This could be just, 50 minutes of white noise. I don't know.
Probably an improvement.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Mike's closing out. You guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.